Today the Lord has blessed us with a scripture from Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Romans chapter 1. Today I'll be preaching from Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. And the title of today's sermon is, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. What a blessing it is to be in a warm church today on a cold day in December. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Here's what God's word has to say. It says, first, I thank my God through Jesus for all of you. Your faith is spoken throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Always in my prayers. Making request if by some means, now at last, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. Let us bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, what a blessing it is. What a blessing it is to be in your house today, Lord. God, I thank you, Lord, for always watching over us, God. For keeping us safe, Lord. And God, Lord, for bringing us together, Lord. God, I pray that on this special cold winter day, Lord, that you would just provide a warmth that our hearts had never felt before, Lord, through this message. God, I thank you in the name of Jesus. And I pray, God, that you would use this message to anoint all of us, Lord, and to help us all to grow closer to you, Lord, and to be faithful to what you've called us to be today. Thank you, Jesus, for everything that you've done. But thank you most for dying on the cross for our sins. For without that, Lord, we would have no hope of eternal life, no hope of heaven. So, Lord, we thank you for all that you've gone through for us, Lord, and we use this sermon and this service and our bodies and everything that we are to praise your holy name. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray today. Amen. I'm going to start out service a little different this morning, a little different. You know, I like to do different things. And so I'm going to play a sound, and I want you to see if you can identify that sound. How does that sound? Sound good? All right, so don't all jump out and say something at once. Listen to the whole sound, and then I'll ask if anybody knows what this sound is. Josh, can you play that sound for us? Great. Has anybody experienced that sound before in their life? Amen. I hope all of you are raising your hands. I see a lot of red faces out there today. Yes, I thought, boy, this is a little daring to open up a message with. But that is the sound of a toilet flushing. The sound of a toilet flushing. And you say, well, Pastor, you open up and you say the title of your sermon is, I'll pray for you. And then you start the service out with a toilet flushing. How are you possibly going to tie those two things together? Well, let me show you how God works, folks. How many people have ever seen a toilet overflow in their home? How many people have had a toilet overflow? Yes, that is a crazy experience, isn't it? You flush the toilet, and then it keeps running. And you look inside the bowl, and you're like, oh, the water's, it's raising a little, but it'll shut off, right? And then the water keeps rising, and it keeps rising, and it makes you feel what? A little anxious inside, doesn't it? You start feeling a little anxious, maybe terrified, like Lewis says. And then as you see it coming up, you say, man, I gotta find a plunger. So you start looking, honey, where's the plunger? And then what do? They want to have a conversation with you, right? Did you fill up the toilet again? Just give me the plunger. Where's the plunger? And so your anxiety rises more and more. And so you can't find the plunger and you're thinking, oh, what am I going to do? You look at the toilet and the water starts cresting over the toilet seat and now the water's overflowing. Honey, where's the towels? And then you start looking for the towels and you run it all over. And then it comes to you. Oh, you could just shut off the water behind the back of the toilet. Right?
Too late.
Too late. It's already all over the floor. But life is like that sometimes, isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't life like an overflowing toilet sometimes? I mean, honestly, I think it is. There are so many things that are coming at us at once. So many things happening so fast that you just don't know what to do. You can't stop them from coming at you. You can't run away from them. You can't hide from them. All these things are just coming at you so fast, like an overflowing toilet. It just makes you completely overwhelmed. Anybody feel like that today?
Yes.
Anybody ever felt like that? Amen. That's a feeling to have. But then you have a friend. You have a friend that you can trust. And so you go to this friend and you start to share with the friend and you say, well, I'm having a rough time, you know, and they may talk you down a little bit. They calm you down. You're a little calmer after speaking with them. They let you know everything's going to be all right. They may even quote a few scriptures about worry and trust and something like that. And so you're feeling a little bit better. They tell you, look, just take life one bite at a time. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. And they may even end the conversation by saying some words like this. I will pray for you. So today, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the phrase, I'll pray for you. I want to talk about what it means, what the value of praying for someone really is and what it means. Because many times in life, as Christians, we offer to pray for people, don't we? Yeah. Many times we offer to pray for people. And that's a great way for us to support each other. Actually, it's a way we're following God's command. He commands us to pray for one another, to support each other and uphold each other. But Jesus commands not only that we pray for our family, not only that we pray for our friends, but also that we pray for who? Our enemies. Yeah, even our enemies, right? So, and by praying for others, what we're really doing is we're really imitating Jesus Christ, right? Because Jesus Christ, what he does is he fills in the gap of the bad things that we've done to the Father. He goes in and he is the person who stands in the gap between you and me and the Father, right? And so when we're offering to pray for somebody, what we're really doing is we're interjecting ourselves. We're standing in the gap to try to help that person overcome whatever it is that they're going through. Amen? So most of us, though, when we pray for somebody, when we offer to pray for somebody, we typically pray for something like this, like, Lord, please help this person, my friend, my brother or sister in Christ, get a job, Lord. Or please help them have a car that runs. Or please protect them. Or please heal them or help them to be safe. And we talk about things like that. But you know, if you look in the Bible, Jesus has a lot of prayers. Paul has a lot of prayers. But they're not those prayers. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with praying that somebody gets a job or somebody has a good running car or somebody has good health, because, in fact, the Bible encourages us to pray for everything. In Philippians 4:6, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So it's great for us to pray for other people for those things. But Jesus, he prayed for something that was a little bit different. Let me share you a couple things that Jesus had prayed for when he prayed for other people in the Bible. Jesus prayed for people's faith. You can read about that in Luke chapter 22, verse 32. He prayed against temptation. He prayed for people's unity. And he prayed for their sanctification, that they would grow closer to him and look more like Jesus Christ. You see, Paul also, when he prayed, Paul prayed for the salvation of the lost. You can read about that in Romans chapter 10. He prayed that brothers would stay on the right path. What a good prayer we could pray that for someone today. Amen. He prayed that brothers would be strengthened by the Spirit, that they would be rooted and grounded in love. Paul prayed that people would be able to even comprehend God's love and to be filled with the fullness of God. And you see, those prayers are all spiritual blessings. And the Bible tells us that we're supposed to be able to pray in the will of God. And I'll tell you that if you're praying those things for people, God is going to answer yes, amen? Because God wants people's faith to increase. He wants to help them overcome temptation. He wants them to be in unity with one another. He wants salvation of the lost. He wants you to stay on that right path. He wants you to be rooted and grounded in love. What a blessing. What a blessing we can be for someone when we utter those words. I will pray for you. When we say, I'll pray for you, and we carry out those words by actually praying for the person, we follow what the scripture says in Galatians 6:2. We carry one another's burdens. We help them with the troubles that they have. We say, you know what? They're not just your troubles, Gene. They're not your troubles, Judy. I'm going to help you carry those to the Lord. That's what we say when we tell somebody that I will pray for you. And if we look through scripture, there's lots of scripture about people praying for one another, especially in the New Testament. In Romans chapter 1, verse 8 and 10, let me read that to you again. This is Paul writing a letter to the Romans. And here's what he says. He says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit, and my preaching the gospel of his son. He's my witness of how constantly I remember you in my prayers. And at all times I pray that now at last, by God's will, that maybe the door will be open for me to be able to come to you. So in verse 9 again it says, God whom I serve in my spirit and my preaching the gospel of his son, that God is my witness of how constantly I remember in you in my prayers at all times. What a blessing. Can you imagine what a blessing it must have been for those people to know that Paul was praying for them? How does it feel when you find out that someone you love is praying for you? Amazing feeling, isn't it? So Paul writes this letter to the people of the church in Rome. And he loved those people, as you can tell by the scripture today. This church had been established by the believers who were at Pentecost. They had experienced the filling of the Holy Spirit. They experienced all the great things that the Lord was doing. They were in Jerusalem at that time. And travelers also had come back to establish this church, like Aquila and Priscilla, those people, do you remember those? They came back and they were helping to establish this church too. These people were on fire for the Lord. I mean, they were excited. They just didn't sit down. They didn't just sing a hymn like this, like, yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. I mean, these people were excited, brother. If they were singing that hymn, I'll bet they were like, yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Come on, sing it with me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. I mean, those people were excited. They were on fire for the Lord. They weren't some dead church. They were excited. They loved Jesus. And so people all around the world, they were hearing about the faith that these people had. How exciting is that? I mean, can you imagine here in Emporia, if there were some believers that heard like, hey, do you know what's going on over that Sunrise Free Will Baptist Church? I mean, people are hearing about Jesus everywhere. Praise the Lord. Great things are happening there. Wouldn't that be exciting? You see, so Paul writes this letter to these guys because he wants to encourage them. He says, man, you guys are doing a great job. Keep the faith. He wants to share with them a strong foundation. And the book of Romans is all about how to live out your faith, how to have the foundational truths, and who Jesus really is as your Lord and Savior. And you see, this is a special book because at this time, these people in the Roman church, they did not have the New Testament. They didn't have the Gospels like we have today. They weren't circulated. They weren't done yet. And so this letter of Romans may have been the first Christian letter, may have been the first doctrine of Christianity ever that that church had read. So you know, as excited as Paul must have been to write it, I'll bet those people were that excited just to receive it. Amen? Must have been a blessing. So Paul says he is thanking God for people like that. And then he continues in verse 9. He says, God whom I serve in my spirit and preaching the gospel of his son is my witness of how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. I wonder how that must have made them feel, because you see, Rome wasn't an easy place to be a Christian. Is the world we live in an easy place to be a Christian? It's an easy place to look like a Christian because there's a lot of havoc happening everywhere. Amen? But I mean, Rome was a crazy place. Have you ever heard the phrase, when in Rome? I mean, in Rome they had everything. They had idol worship. They had sacrifices to sexual pagan gods. They had people doing whatever they wanted, anywhere they wanted. Rome was a crazy place. And so for those people to stand out and to live their Christian faith, brothers and sisters, they were the light that Jesus calls us to be. That's exciting to me. And so Paul, he was excited about them. And so when he says he was praying for them, that must have gave him a lot of confidence. How much confidence do you have when the water's coming over the toilet bowl? Not a lot of confidence. Right? If you're like me, I'm not even thinking about the mess. I'm two steps above that. I'm thinking, now we got to call the plumber. There goes $100. And then the wife's going to complain about the floor and the stain. Got to get that redone. There's another $100. I mean, I'm not even thinking about the water coming out. I'm thinking about what happens after that and how to fix it, right? And can I get it all done before she gets home from work so nobody finds out? You guys have been there. You know what I'm talking about. So these people, they're living a life where like the water's coming over the toilet bowl. I mean, there's just craziness everywhere. Things are out of control. But yet they have a God and they serve a God that is in control. And so they continue to worship, serve, and live for him. And so Paul says, man, I thank you guys for what you're doing. And I continually pray for you because I know how hard it must be. It's a blessing to have a friend pray for us. Raise your hand if you ever had a friend pray for you. Yeah, amen. That's good. It's an absolute blessing, isn't it? Brother David testified with us. He's not here today. He had to go into work. But David shared with us one time. He said, came into my office. It was a Wednesday afternoon. And he said, I've experienced something like I never experienced before. And I said, well, okay, tell me about it, you know. And he sits down in the chair. And you know, Dave, his eyes start weeping. He didn't even get out one word, Becky, and his eyes were weeping. And I said, well, Dave, tell me about it. He said, well, I have a lady that's leaving to go on vacation or to be gone for a little while. And she had came to me, and she knew the stuff I was going through with my health. And she wanted to pray over me, and she asked, could I pray over you? And he said, well, sure. And so he went, and she came over, and she started praying over him. And now she was praying in Spanish. And he didn't understand anything she was saying. But his eyes started watering, and her eyes started watering. And the Holy Spirit united their two spirits and was ministering to their hearts, even though he didn't even know what she was saying.
Amen. That's right.
Because that's the blessing of having somebody pray for you. That woman said, I will pray for you, and she did it. And what a change it made in Dave's life. You see, it's important for us to pray for each other. When we pray for each other, we get into the privilege of rejoicing and being a part of their life and God's work in their life. What more could you be excited of? You get to be part of God's work in another human being's life. You can help them make a difference through Jesus Christ in things like their spiritual growth, their physical growth, their encouragement. I mean, prayer is a powerful weapon. It was even used as a power of spiritual warfare. That's how powerful prayer is. All throughout the Bible, you'll see tons of great examples of people using prayer to overcome temptations and mountains. Paul requested prayer for his work in the ministry. Many of you look at the New Testament and you see, well, through Jesus Christ, Paul wrote most of this stuff. Well, it wasn't easy. He had to have prayer to even continue on his ministry. He didn't want to give up. You know, I had a blessing yesterday. I had a call from David and Linda Glaze. They called me up, and they just left me the sweetest little message about how they loved being in church in 2014 and 15 and loved worshiping with us. And then it was such a sweet message. And then at the end, before they said, God bless you, we love you, Pastor, at the end, they said, don't give up. And it was strange because it didn't seem like it fit the rest of the context of the message and what they were talking about. It was like God was sending a message through them just to tell me, hey, don't give up. And what a blessing it was. They may never know how big of a blessing that was to me. But what a huge blessing. What a message of encouragement to know not to give up, to keep on keeping on. So Paul, he requested prayer for work in his ministry. And those are things we should pray for our ministers. We should pray for those that are laymen and doing ministry. It's hard to do God's work. James recommended praying over people when they're sick. He said, you should pray over those that are sick. Anoint them with oil. Pray over them. And you can even read about Jesus' prayer for the disciples and the prayer he has for future believers. You know who that is? That's us. In John chapter 17. Absolutely awesome. Just a few hours, just a little bit of time before his death. And he prays for the disciples, and he prays for who the future believers are, you and I. If you never read that prayer, go to John chapter 17 this afternoon and read it. It is an absolute blessing. When we pray for other people, it shows them we love them. You see, you can do something nice for somebody else and not love them. I mean, I've done it before. I mean, maybe I'm the only black sheep in the family, but I've done nice things for people before, and I didn't really love them, so to speak. But when you pray for somebody, when you say you're going to pray for somebody, you're showing you love them because what are you doing? You're taking your thoughts off of yourself, and you're putting them on them. You're thinking about their situation and what they're going through, and you're taking them and lifting them up to somebody who could do something about it, which is our Lord and Savior. So I love to be able to pray for people. I think it's an honor. God says that we're supposed to pray for one another. We're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves, and prayer is one way that we can do that. But when we say we pray for somebody and we don't pray for them, that's when we get into trouble, right? Because when you tell me, say, Pastor, I'm praying for you, I'm counting on you to pray for me that week. I'm trusting you. I'm believing you that you say you're going to pray for me. I know you're going to pray for me. There's a woman in our congregation today. She's a teacher. Retired teacher. And this woman named Deborah. Anyway, she didn't want to forget. She would tell people that she would pray for them. And she was so worried because Well, this woman forgets that her glasses are on her head sometimes. And I love her dearly, but she forgets about those things. And she didn't want to forget. And you know, so she would put a little dot on her hand. I never noticed. Nobody else in the world knew. Because it wasn't for anybody else in the world. It was just for her to remember that she was praying for that person. You see, she wasn't going out everywhere and said, "Hey, are you praying for George to heal shingles? I'm praying for George. We should all pray." She wasn't doing that. If she said she would pray for you, she didn't want to forget. Why? Because she loved you that much. And so she put just a little dot on her hand that she would only notice. I never knew she did that. And it was years later, back in Cedar Park, Texas. And I asked her, I said, "Deborah, you got a spot on your hand." I think she was getting ready to cook dinner or something. And she said, "Oh, yeah." And she didn't say anything. And she kept on what she was doing. And so I asked her, I said, "What is that? Does that mean something? Or do you need to wash it off?" I was kind of making light of it. And she looked over and she said, "That's because I promised somebody I was going to pray for him today. And I wanted to put that spot on there so that I wouldn't forget." You see, it's examples like Deborah had set that helped change people's life. My life had been changed forever because of what that woman had taught me in a silent way, and she didn't even mean to teach me. Praise the Lord. When you say you're going to pray for somebody, you've got to pray for them. It is a blessing to be able to pray for other people. If you've ever put a request on our prayer request list, you know what it feels like to have somebody say, "I'm praying for you." You know what that feels like. And when somebody says that they're praying for you, I believe that's the highest compliment. The highest compliment a person can give you. To say that you're important enough that I'm going to take your problem to my perfect God. Because while I might not be able to do anything about your problem, I serve a God who can conquer all problems. Amen. So if somebody says they're praying for you, that's the highest compliment you could ever have. When I tell somebody I'm praying for them, you know what I mean? I mean that I'm trying to help you. It's a situation where I might not be able to help you, where I'm not in control, but I know God's in control. It's a situation that says that I can't help you, but I'm going to call on the greatest power in the world to help you. It's a situation that says, "I love you, and if there was anything I had, I would give it to you to help you. But I don't. And so I'm going to my Creator, who everything is at His disposal." And folks, the reason I call on my God for your names and for our names is because somebody at one time had called on my God for me. There was a time I was lost. I didn't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And you know, I'll bet there was a lot more than one person praying for me. And through their prayers, God changed my heart. And I got saved. Prayers are powerful. When you say you're praying for somebody, it's not just words. It's a serious commitment in your heart. You see, I've seen God's hand, God's work firsthand be answered. I prayed for my mom while she went through heart surgery. And God blessed her and she was okay. I prayed for my dad when he had a bifemoral artery bypass. And I don't know if you know what that is, but basically there's an artery that goes to your heart and it comes down here to your groin and it splits over here. And they had cut my dad from here all the way up here, all the way up here. He was terrified. I prayed. And my God delivered him. But even if my God didn't, I know he would have took my father to heaven. I prayed for my brother when he went in to have an electrical connection issue fixed in his heart. They call it an ablation. And they went in, and you know what they did, Bill? They went in the wrong side of his heart and burned up a bunch of connections. He could have been dead. Should have been dead. But God saved him, and he's alive today. Was at Monster Jam with his daughter last night watching Monster Trucks. Having a great time. I pray for my wife. I pray for my kids every single day. And I pray for many of you every single day. Any burden that you have that you share, I lift up to the Lord. Folks, I trust Jesus Christ with everything that I am. Can you say that same thing? I know that he's going to take care of these things. When I go to the Lord in prayer for you, I go confidently knowing that my Lord and Savior knows the burden and he's going to answer in his way. And the way I can go to him confident is because in Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, we're told to do that. It says this, the writer of Hebrews says, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast unto our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet is without sin. Now listen to this part. It says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace and help in our time of need. The God I serve wants to hear from me. He wants to hear from you. If you tell somebody you're going to pray for them, pray for them. When I say I'm praying for you, I put you at the top of the most important things in my entire life. More important than my work. More important than my family. You're at the top of me going to things to my Lord and Savior. Church, when somebody prays for you, they might not have all the answers. They may not know how to help you, but they do know a God that does. They realize they might be powerless in the situation. And folks, if you're a parent here today, if you have a loved one today, you know the worst thing in life is being powerless. That's one of the worst things in life. When you have somebody you care about, when you deeply love them, and you can't do anything for them, that is one of the most painful feelings in the entire world. But you know, as you bring that person to the Lord in prayer, God gives you a peace. He gives you a comfort that no one else can understand. That's the power of going to our Lord in prayer. Prayer is always the most significant, most vital, most crucial, most important thing you can do for anybody that you love or anyone who asks you. When we pray, something always happens. Always. Prayer is never a waste of time. And I want to tell you that what we pray for the person is less important than us actually praying for the person. Because the Holy Spirit knows exactly what reason we're going there for. So what a blessing it is to be able to pray for somebody else. So as we go to the Lord and get ready to close this service, I just want to pray for you. Because I love you. And so I want to take your needs and your burdens and your hurts to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who loved me enough to save me so that I wouldn't die an eternal death, so that I could go to heaven, who loves you enough to take you to eternity. So if you would, please bow your heads with me as I take you to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord in heaven, God, I invite you to come into the hearts of everyone in our service today, Lord. God, I pray that everyone opens up their heart to receive the message that you have for them. God, I pray that everybody hears the message that you have for them, Lord. Every single person in this building, Lord, every single person listening to this message on Facebook Live or on the internet, God, touch them. Touch them, Lord. Let them feel your divine hand on their shoulder. Maybe it's a squeeze of a hug. Maybe it's your breath in their ear, but Lord, touch them. God, I love these people. I love them. God, you love them. Lord, I pray whatever their need is, God. God, if they need guidance, or they need direction, if they need encouragement or healing or protection, God, if they're waiting for that report from the doctor, Lord, there's tension in their relationship. God, if there's a job that's needed, Lord, maybe there's somebody here who just doesn't really know if they're saved or not. And Lord, I pray for the assurance, God, that you would let them know that there's no question.
that they're saved, if they've accepted you as their Lord and Savior, if they've confessed that with their mouth, they've repented of their sins, and they believe in their heart, Lord. God, I pray that you would give them that confirmation today and let them know that. Lord, I pray that you will strengthen those people that are facing temptations, God. There's temptations out there that are so much bigger than we are, Lord, that we fall into over and over and over again. Lord, I pray, God, that you will strengthen them to overcome those temptations. God, that they can defeat them through your power. Lord, those people that are facing challenges, Lord, I pray that you'll step in right now, God, that you will just touch their hearts, Lord. And God, you'll just take their soul into your hands, God, and you'll just help them with those. God, I pray they feel the Holy Spirit move in this place like they never had before. God, I pray for those that are sick, those that are hurting. Lord, I love Brother George. I know those shingles just hurt him so bad. I pray, God, that you help him with that. Lord, I know there's people here that are struggling in life. I know there are people here that are struggling with bitterness, Lord. God, bitterness is stealing their joy. It's hurting their relationships. It's hurting their work relationships and their friendships. Lord, I pray, God, you would take that bitterness from them and start healing them today, Lord. God, I know there's people here with anger. And God, they don't mean to lose their temper. They don't mean to get frustrated, God, but it just comes out, Lord. They say hurtful things. They do hurtful things. God, I pray that you would take that problem from them, that you would help them today, God, that they would bring it to you and say, God, help me. Lord, I know there's people in here who struggle with addictions. Addictions that just never stop talking to them, never stop nagging them, never stop saying. And God, they just want to give in. Lord, I pray that you give them strength to overcome those addictions. God, touch them. Lord, reassure them. Let them know, God, that your word is truth. You won't leave them or forsake them, God. Lord, I pray for those that don't know you today, God. Those that are here today, those that are in our families, those that we may meet when we leave here. God, soften their heart. Help them to understand that, God, all you want to do in their life is give them good things and help them, Lord. You want to provide for their needs. You want to save them from their sins, not take them down to a place to be destroyed, God. You want to put them back together. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here today that doesn't know you, that they would come forward and rest safely in the arms of Jesus, that they make a decision today. Lord, I wish I could help every need in the world. But I guess if I could, I wouldn't need you. So God, I thank you for my weakness. And I pray, God, that you would use it all the days of your life for my strength. God, I pray, Lord, for the people in our congregation today, Lord, that they would feel your way in a love that they never felt before, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the changes you are making today. Thank you for the blessings that you are pouring out, Lord. As we speak these words, God, you're the creator of everything we have, the author of all good, Lord. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus, the one who's our Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for it's in your name I pray. Amen.